Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Geek Vibes Live is rated G for geek.
Hey, this is Matt Lesher.
This is Phil Lamar.
Hey, this is Robin McKeeler, a.k.a. The Penguin from Gotham. And you are listening to Geek Vibes Live.
Hello, hello. Welcome to another exciting episode of Geek Vibes Live Interview. As always, I am your host, Tia, and today we're going to be bringing on a really exciting guest. He is a part of the hit HBO series Ballers, London Brown. So we're going to wait for him to come on in just a second, but let's just talk for a moment about how popular HBO is and the amazing shows that they continue to just feed out to us. Not only do we have the show Ballers, which stars Dwayne Johnson himself, it's kind of amazing to think about if you have been a fan since way back of the transformation and the journey that Mr. Johnson has certainly gone through from being just The Rock on WWE. I mean, I'm kind of aging myself right now. I mean, I'm not old. I don't know why I just said that. I'm 28, but I was literally in third grade or fourth grade trying to do the eyebrow thing from The Rock, and now he has successfully made the transition from WWE actor to movie star, TV show star. I mean, he brings in just so much to the table, and to have him now, it's been 4 seasons of Ballers, and it's just going to be really great. And I'm going to stop talking about that because we have London Brown on. Thank you for being with us, London.
No, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Of course. I was just saying how HBO just seems to shuffle out one hit show after the other, and you are part of this show that has been on for 4 seasons and is very popular. And I just need to know, I mean, how is it being on a show of that caliber?
Well, first, the opportunity is really dope because, again, just the respect that HBO has, and, you know, just being known for their good programming. And I think to what you were saying, like how they keep, you know, dropping these really dope shows, I think because they really are really meticulous and idiosyncratic about the process, meaning making sure they got the right DPs, making sure the writers are locked in and solid, making sure that the actors are solid. So when you got all those components at their best working together, then they're able to produce really high-end programming. And I think that, and because of that, I'm grateful enough that they were able to see something within me and say, yo, he matches the standard that we have over here at HBO. And so that makes it really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really just appreciate what HBO does. And I would love to kind of, you know, how did you get really involved in the show? I mean, did you originally go out and look for this, or did your agent kind of present you with this role? How really did you get involved with Ballers?
With me at the time, I didn't even have any representation of any kind, no managers, agents, publicists, anything. So I got a call from a writer, and he just gave me, he said, yo, man, they're looking for you. Have you auditioned for Ballers yet? And I was like, no. And so he sent over my information, or I got connected us, and I went into audition summer of 2014. And that process was, I think maybe it was like seven something callbacks, and it lasted between August to, I didn't get the offer until like October. And so it was just a process, man. And a lot of guys that I was going to the audition, I'm running to heavy set guys, because obviously the character name is Fat Reggie, but they wasn't locked into to the character yet. And ideally, that's our job as actors, to go in and bring these characters to life and show casting, let them, we reveal to them who these characters are. And so, yeah, just went in and called back, and I was really, really hoarse that particular first audition, because at the time, I was working as a dancer, so I was just no sleep, my voice was gone, but they were able to kind of, you know, make out whatever it was I was saying under a hoarse voice, and they had me come back in, and that was, that's that story, man. But they were really good in there, man.
Oh wow. You probably were so nervous between August and October waiting for that callback.
You know what? This is where I was with that whole thing, where like staying with that, and this is not to sound super deep, but I had a lot of faith going into that project, and so it allowed, what that unwavering faith did for me is it allowed me to keep a sense of peace, which gave me the calmness. My whole thing was just to go into the audition and just be really, and just be very prepared and take the notes, make the adjustments as they were coming to me. And in the meantime, throughout those 2 months, if there was any doubt that was trying to interrupt my focus, I just let it go. And that's all I did, man. I didn't even focus on that or not getting it or if impossible. I just like, yo, I got the part. But now, of course, in the natural sense, you know, there were times where I was like, man, it got quiet on me for like 2 weeks. I didn't hear anything. I was like, yo, let me just stay focused on, you know, on working the clubs, whatever. And at the time I had a little after school job that I was teaching that paid, I don't know, $15 or something an hour, but I was only there for maybe 2 hours. So I was just on the grind and keeping focused, man. So I guess that paid off. That worked.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do while you're waiting for that. And clearly it was just meant to be.
You know, I think so. I mean, because honestly, too, there's nothing about me that is overweight. And, you know, the character name is Fat Reggie. And, you know, it really just kind of worked out. Even with, I was only supposed to be reoccurring, meaning just in a couple episodes and so forth. And during the audition process, they decided to make him one of the stars of the show. So there's a lot of different things. Like I said, I was so not supposed to be in there that they were writing my lines while we were on set. We were coming up with stuff, and I improvised, and they were keeping my choices, and they were writing stuff and twisting stuff around. So it really kind of worked out. And even with being the antagonist for season one, I don't think that was quite written that way, but we were able to find that happy place between Spencer and Reggie, where we was like, oh, okay, well, Lundy can, you know, take a couple of shots And Dwayne was cool. We spoke, and we just kind of – he just let me be, and he did – we play off of me, play off each other, and it kind of worked out that way. Fortunately, that was a pretty good look for me for an unfamiliar face, you know, being a part of HBO.
Right, and you mentioned that obviously the character was supposed to be heavy set at some point, and then you came in and they had to adjust. Besides that aspect of the character, was there really anything else that they had originally planned for the character that kind of shifted with your own flair being added into it?
I think initially, I don't think anyone anticipated Reggie being as, if you will, hated as much, because again, he was supposed to be a side idea, just a you know, and characters like that sometimes will happen where, you know, you book a role and you're just supposed to be, quote unquote, the best friend. But I really did want to just be the best friend, because there's a lot of talented people on the show, and they have these extensive resumes. So for me, I was just trying to, using my training from theater, I just wanted to make sure that I can play Reggie big enough, at least for screen, so that he didn't get lost. So even if he was gonna, even if they had the character as kind of, you know, a little, probably had him just as a best friend who grew up in the hood, I was like, well, how can we make this character, give him some other layers, create some insecurities within him? And that's why he would talk as slick as he did to Spencer, because he felt possibly threatened by Spencer. Yet we had another side where he was looking out for his boy. But at the same time, there was another layer where we said, well, let's create some things where he kind of is a little irresponsible. Maybe not as much as we thought when we, you know, on paper, but, you know, even that, if, you know, I think that coming from being a dancer, if you, throughout the season, throughout the seasons, you'll catch Reggie doing a cha-cha move here and there, or he'll do some dancing. So for me, I've always tried to incorporate me as a person and the things that I do into the character. Now, people ask me, you know, am I really like Reggie? I'm not like Reggie, but I understand people like Reggie because of the industry I'm in and having friends who are athletes. You always have that guy around. Honestly, too, from out throughout season one to season four, if people really follow Reggie, they'll see that even if they didn't understand all the layers in season one, if they go from season one to season four, they'll be able to see a substratum of things that make Reggie. Now people feel like, oh, man, now we like him. But that's what characters are supposed to do. If you're fortunate enough to where they want to keep you around, you know, then, you know, they gave me some space to grow, you know, for Reggie to grow and develop and mature. And so that kind of actually worked out in my favor.
And did you have any sort of influence on Reggie's storyline throughout the seasons, or was it really the writers as they were seeing how the story was going, the reception from the public, or did you get any input on that?
I think there were conversations. We definitely had conversations just trying to figure out, like, between where Reggie might have grown up, the kind of language that Reggie would use. And I still, you know, even with that, even the way Reggie dresses, and they're really cool for that, because I don't know if they knew I did stand-up initially. But I think when they decided to, for season two, pair Fat Reggie up with Joe Crutell, played by Rob Corddry, they were able to see that comedically we played well off of each other, because I think he comes from stand-up as well. So we were able to kind of, some scenes I'll play the straight guy and then set him up for the punch, or he'll play the straight guy and set me up for the punch. And so I think people just like the interesting dichotomy between the two characters. And also in season two, they let us kind of get physical, or let Reggie get physical dealing with the alpaca and chasing that around and all of that stuff. So I think that it was definitely a collaboration, or whatever they had on paper, they gave me the freedom to explore and improvise throughout the scenes, and, you know, so that we, it would, again, create some more layers to Reggie. So that was really, you know, dope on their end for, to trust me to do it, and the directors and so forth.
Yeah, that's always great when there's a good relationship between actor, director, writer, co-stars.
Right.
And how must it have been, like, still working with Dwayne Johnson, someone who has been on everyone's TV screens for so long?
You know, I think that because he's so cool and so humble and works hard, all the energy I think that's created on the set definitely is a reflection of Dwayne. Because Dwayne could come to set, you know, and not speak to anybody. And I don't think anybody would actually even mind, because we say, yo, he's the biggest star. We just will respect his space. But it makes it that much more of a delight to come to set, because he doesn't have any type of ego. He's coming in there, speaks to people, to everyone, and, you know, we respect his space because, of course, he's Dwayne Johnson, so we're not just, you know, hanging out and sending tweets to each other, but respect his space, but he's always really, really cool, and that creates a whole atmosphere from directors, producers, all the way down to the guy, to the crew, to, you know, craft services and everyone. So that's one of those things where I think he's just a really great example, you know, of just how to still just keep it really grounded down to earth. Because sometimes, there, at least for me, sometimes I will forget his magnitude. Because when we're on set, it's just, for example, you know, it'll be a scene with just he and I and the crew, and we'll have an office scene or whatever it was. And then you see him, he'll leave, and you know, he speaks and he's out of there. And then you go to his Instagram and you see he has over 126 million followers, and he's on a flight to Japan to promote this movie, and he just left us. And you like, yo, this guy's on a whole nother level. But he's so grounded to where you just, for a second, you just kind of feel like he only knows you and the other people in that room for those hours or whatnot. And that's a really, you know, great thing to have.
Yeah, that has to be so welcoming as an actor, because you hear these stories of people who are on set and maybe one actor has a bit of an ego and maybe things are kind of tense around the set. So it must be really a great feeling to be on this show that has gained the popularity that it has, and have it be this good experience along with it.
Yeah, I mean, it just makes the job, again, a lot of people don't like what they do, and they don't like waking up and going to, you know, work or whatever they do, but that's one of those major keys of happiness. There are a few things, but two, you know, do we like what we come home to? But the other one, is do we like what we do for a living? And so even though the call times may be sometimes 5 in the morning, you know, 6 a.m. or what have you, I don't mind getting up that early, because I know the atmosphere I'm about to attend is welcoming. And then it just allows us as artists to just focus on the work. It'd be a different show if every time we, you know, the actors had to worry about, you know, the weird energy. I mean, as an actor, it's already a lot of work just to do the scenes. The concentration that it takes to just do that and be moment to moment, present to present, and acting and reacting, that is enough to focus on. So anything else can just cause an interference. So it's good that, you know, at least for me, I don't have any interferences there. I'm always really excited.
And that's really awesome to hear. And I don't mean to get maybe too deep, but how would you say that being on a show like Ballers has kind of changed your life, your career, from where it was in season one to where it is now?
Simply put, it just allowed me allowed me to live in the sense that, like, as an, like, acting is like an incredible temp job. Like, you work when you work. And so for me, this is like my second TV show. I did my first TV show called The Hustle on Fuse. Shout out to Princess Penny and the cast that we worked together on that. But so coming from a show like that, that was a great launch pad, because I was coming from theater. So the first TV show kind of set me up to understand the mechanics of just working television. So that by the time Ballers came around, you know, my confidence was up as an actor. I then knew that I could actually do this thing called acting. And also my knowing what to do on camera and how to play the camera, got all those little kinks got pressed out when I did the first TV show. So like I said, by the time Ballers came around, I was ready. And to be set up in a position with Ballers, one in very credible, credible network with incredible actors, that has influenced the way I move about in the auditions that I do today. And then on a practical financial side of it, it just allowed me to get off my friends' couches. You know, I would stand with my friends, or even I had all my stuff in my mom's garage, you know, whatever life stuff I had, with the clothes, shoes, and some artwork, you know, that I had there. And so Ball just allowed me to just kind of actually start living, as we say. Because before Ballers, I was kind of feeling like you're just kind of gigging it. And I have an after-school program job, and then I was doing stand-up. I wasn't really getting paid. There's no money locally. You have to get on the word on the road and work. Fortunately, shout out to Chris Tucker, who allowed me, right before Ballers, I was touring with him as his opener.
Oh, wow.
And so I was really just kind of surviving and, you know, keeping this thing called faith, because that's all I really had, you know. And even after the first TV show, my friend was like, yo, you on a TV show. What are you doing still working at an after-school program and doing this community youth programs and these kind of things? But I tell people all the time, you're not on until you're on. So I worked that job until I physically couldn't do it, because I had to relocate to shoot Ballers, the first two. And so now I like the fact that I am comfortable enough to the point where I can just really focus on being an artist and create an opportunity so that the people around me can also financially get some help, if you will. And that's really what I like about where I am now, just being able to help those around me. And if I can do that, then, you know, it allows me to keep living. Because at the end of the day, I mean, being on the show is great, and being financially stable is cool. But it's not about me just getting and just to be getting. I'm supposed to give even more. So if I'm not doing that, then something is wrong. And now that's not just to be naive and just say anybody who's asking, I'm just handing out. But no, just making sure that I remember that it's not about me. And the more I get, I try to give and be a kinder person. That's the least I can do for being in the position that I'm in. So that's my way of trying to keep it all balanced.
Yeah, and that's an incredibly humble outlook on it that is appreciated from people who watch these shows, when actors can approach life and their career in a humble notion like you have just now.
I think, well, you know what? I think when people understand the people who are doing well or whatever it is, or let me not speak for people. Let me just say for me. My thought is our gifts are not for us. So I'm supposed to, whatever these gifts I have, I'm supposed to give them away. And I also realized that I didn't create these gifts within myself. How self-aggrandizing is it of me to feel like I got here by myself? That nothing about that even, to me, doesn't even make sense. Even if I auditioned and I was in the room by myself, even if I worked on the lines, let's just say if I did all this just in the dark basement someplace, like there's still a team of people I know who are sending positive vibes my way, who pray for me, who my friends who let me stay on their couch, or who my, you know, some days, man, I remember I would be so hungry, I would post. I'm like, yo, I'm hungry. Who got something to eat? What's going on? And somebody said, yo, man, come through. I'll meet you at the club, and they will bring me a plate of food. Now, I'm not saying I was poor and I was, you know, staying on the streets. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying that financially, I was getting through, you know, paying a couple bills, you know, car note, because I need a car, and then trying to help whoever I could help, you know. But just were times where I was like, yo, who can look out? And my friends will look out. So I don't forget none of that. And I understand that I wouldn't even have these gifts if God didn't give them to me. So the analogy I like to compare it to is, who drives around flossing in a rental car? It's not yours. And so to be flossing in a rental car doesn't make any sense to me. And I feel our gifts are the same way. They're not mine. I'm just grateful enough to have the ability to do the things. So the least I can do is exhaust the possibilities of them, so I don't be wasting my time or these gifts. Because I could have been, and this is no disrespect, but I could have been London the mechanic. I'm sure I would have been a really good mechanic and a focused mechanic and a very kind one and thorough. But that's not what I was placed on the earth to do. So for me to be given the arts, you know, I don't know what I would do if I couldn't do art. I don't know. I've tried doing things that weren't artistic, and they didn't work out. I got fired. I don't know how to do them. That's not my thing. I'm an artist. And so I appreciate being able to do these things. So.
Absolutely.
I try not to be too verbose with my replies. So you just stop me anytime, because I get really passionate about this stuff.
No. And I appreciate the passion completely. That's, as I said, humble and refreshing to hear, just because, as you said, this is an art and you're doing it and you're fortunate, and it's maybe not everybody could do. And then there's the people who would like to do it and they're not getting the opportunities to do it. So
right.
I completely appreciate the passion and your responses.
Oh, awesome, man. I'm glad you get it.
Do you think that now being where you are, that you would return to theater or stand-up?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I do stand-up regularly now. I'm in the clubs, you know, as often as I can be. And, in fact, I'm touring right now. And I got a show coming up. But, yeah, so I'm on the road right now. And so, and with theater, I definitely will continue to do theater. I like theater, and it's just such a live experience to just kind of, you, it ain't like film where you get to kind of go back and redo. Once that train takes off, it's moving. And I think that's just a good skill to always kind of hone and keep tight under your belt. And you know, theater just reminds you of why you do this thing called acting, and why you should always continue to study. You know, the stage is very honest, and that's why I like stand-up, because it's very honest. It's, when I'm doing stand-up, the people don't care about you know, so much about me being on Ballers, and none of that stuff really matters. At the end of the day, I'm up there 45 minutes an hour. I gotta deliver that stuff. And so I appreciate the rawness of doing stand-up.
Well, nice. And it's really cool to hear that you're touring right now. Where are you right now that people could find you to go see your shows?
They can follow me on social media at Real Lyndon Brown, my Instagram, and I'm always posting dates and different things like that. So they'll catch me there and then find out what cities I'm hitting up next.
Nice. And I was reading that Ballers is renewed, though, for a fifth season. Is there anything that you can tell us that we should expect from the fifth season that we can expect with Reggie?
Well, you know what? Of course, they haven't gotten the scripts yet, but from what I like to project is that we're going to see, again, I think people are going to continue to embrace Reggie and see some comedic things going on and his maturity just growing in the financial field. And I think from what I've been hearing, how the season ended, we're going to go back from not so much the skateboard or the extreme sports ideas, but I think we're going to try to venture back to football and get back to some of the original concepts of the show. But I'm actually, and of course, they're going to have, as the show grows, so does the cameos and people who want to make their appearances on the show. So I know they're going to have some fun appearances, and hopefully we get Reggie in some suits this season. That'd be cool. London likes suits, so it'd be cool if we can just get Reggie out of, you know, the big shirts and get him into some tailored suits and see another grown and really see a transformation with Reggie. That's what I like personally, but I never know. The writers are really dope, and so they always find creative ways to keep fans interested.
Oh, well, then if anyone who has anything to do with Ballers is listening, let's get London in some suits as Reggie.
That's what I'm saying. Come on, man. Let's get him in some nice, clean fedoras. And get him. I'm talking about casual out. So I'll be ready. But either way, I'm trying to be, you know, make sure I'm set and physically fit and ready to go going into this fifth season. So we'll see.
That's fantastic. London, before I let you go, is there anything that you would like to promote besides, I know that you're doing your stand-up right now. Are you in any other projects that we should look forward to?
Yeah, there's some films coming up that I worked on. One is called Back to the Good Life, and that's starring Tyler Pratt, Estelle, the singer, and this is produced by the Tate Brothers. If you don't know the Tate Brothers, you should know Lorenz Tate out there, listeners. And it's just he and his brother got a production company, and they produced this film called Back to the Good Life. And I'm in this, and I play, me and Kyla are leading this project. I'm the male lead male. And so it's a fun, you know, romantic comedy, totally different from Reggie. And I know some people, you know, they think I'm like Reggie. I'm like, I'm not Reggie, but here, come look at these other things, and you can see some other fun sides of who I am. And but that should be pretty good, man. And I'm working on this book of photography, and some of those proceeds are going to be used to help, you know, the homeless. And I really just want to do something, you know, I feel like the homeless are people too, man. And I'm in L.A., so I run into homeless people all the time, and it's just so many people out there that aren't doing so well. So if I can use some of the proceeds from the book that I'm working on to help them, then this is just another way to keep myself nice and balanced and remember that it's not about me. And then on the fashion side of things, there might be some talks of some things going into fashion, you know, so I will hopefully be able to come back and talk to you about that stuff. But it's all kind of, I'm just keeping my head down and focused.
Oh, awesome. I'm really looking forward to those projects that you have. I'm really happy to hear that you're going to use proceeds for charity, anything that you want to come back and promote or you want us to promote on social media, I would be more than happy to help out with that. Just really great work that it seems like you're going to be involved in.
Awesome. I appreciate that. Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much again, London, for joining us. Again, this is Geek Vibes Live Interview, speaking with London Brown of Ballers and many other things. Thank you again for taking the time to even speak with me today.
Thank you. I appreciate you. Thank you kindly.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. You too.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.